Today is October the 10th, 1989, and what follows is an interview with Lenore Kishik Tobias in her home in Toronto, Canada. Your names come up recently in press releases or so with criticism of the uses of native materials by non-native authors.
I think I've gone on record a number of times to say that I don't think that non-natives should be telling native stories. Mm-hmm. And of course the immediate reaction is you are censoring mm-hmm. my imagination, which makes me wonder, why is it that God has given the white man such a broad, all-encompassing imagination? If it's so broad and all-encompassing, then why does the white man have to come into our culture mm-hmm. and take things? Mm-hmm. Why can't they just make up their own fictional culture or society? Why do they have to draw on native society? And if it's so broad and all-encompassing, and they're using native symbols and native figures, they're not showing us anything new. Mm-hmm. They're not making any new discoveries. They're basically embellishing and pumping life back into those dead stereotypes. Mm-hmm.
What writers do you think of in particular?
Well, I think of W.P. Kinsella, for mm-hmm. one, and this horrid series of books coming out of the States by the author Lynn Andrews. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think she's done Medicine Woman, Jaguar Woman, and I don't know what other woman's going to. A few other women are going to be there, right? So she sassays in with her mm-hmm. with her designer jeans and mm-hmm. and whatnot, and basically confronts her own Christian psyche. Mm-hmm. Under the guise of being a native story and tapping into native spirituality. Now, from my own experience and from the experience of many more people, our spiritual teachers, our elders, are not as harsh as Lynn Andrews and even Carlos Castaneda's and this silly woman Darlene Barry Quaife make them out to be. Mm-hmm. Our teachers, our elders are patient, almost infinitely patient, mm-hmm. and very gentle. But at the same time, they are forthright. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you if you're making a mistake. They'll tell you if you're making an ass of yourself. But mm-hmm. other than that, they're very gentle and very, very patient.
That's true. What do you make of Anne Cameron?
Anne Cameron, well, I'm ambivalent about that. On one hand, I can see where, yes, I think she, well, let's put it this way. I'm ambivalent because, yes, there is a need and there has been a desperate need to have these stories saved or retained or revived. On the other hand, I don't like how she has used these stories to give credence to her feminist politics. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair. Mm-hmm. And basically, she's using those stories to suit that when they were not created that way at all.
That's. The reason I'm asking this, I've asked a lot of people all along, and when I first saw those, I thought, oh yeah, they're produced for the general interest in spirituality and catered to the feminist market or the feminist interest in particular. And I was wondering how the women in the community that told her the stories would feel. And what I heard from several people on the West Coast was that they were very upset.
They're ambivalent,
Native women who think very highly of Anne Cameron.
I think very highly of Anne Cameron too. I think she's a wonderful writer, mm-hmm. and I do appreciate what she has done to well, to promote, to foster and promote a greater understanding of Native cultures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can also say that for writers like Rudy Weeb and M.T. Kelly, even though I don't think that, you know, they, neither of them is capable mm-hmm. of assuming a Native voice.
No.
And this is what a lot of people don't understand, and I find it hard to understand why they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, we've all grown up to view the world and been taught to view the world from a particular point in time, mm-hmm. particular position in the universe. Like, for example, you and I are sitting around a campfire, and there's the campfire, and it's a beautiful campfire. Flames are just gorgeous. But you look at it from that side, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at it from this side. How could you, unless you come and you sit on top mm-hmm. of me and knock me out of the way, sit down and tell what my side of the campfire looks like?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, there may be, for example, the sun may be rising behind you or setting behind mm-hmm. you, and I have that perspective. Likewise, when you look at me across the campfire, you have a different perspective too. And sharing that, I think is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any? Okay, now we're talking about non-native writers, but that's the last question in that direction. Can you think of any non-native writers that treat native people with respect or in a way that would be acceptable?
Okay, I would say. M.T. Kelly.
Uh-huh.
His book, A Dream Like Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it,
mm-hmm.
and to me there was a big hole missing, and that hole was the native voice.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Margaret Lawrence?
No.
I think I talked to some people. I always felt that she manages at least to treat native people and other cultures with respect.
Well, I think M.T. Kelly does mm-hmm. too, you mm-hmm. see, because he has respect for the cultures,
mm-hmm.
he has the respect of intelligent native people, and he has
mm-hmm.
talent.
Mm-hmm.
Kinsella doesn't. Kinsella mm-hmm. is reaping scorn.
Oh, that's true. You said earlier that you think there is a need for writing down or for saving the oral tradition, the stories that otherwise might get lost. On the other hand, there are traditional people who say the oral tradition is oral, is in the original language, and is not for publication. But I see that in Canada in particular, more native people themselves write down the oral tradition.
I think all that does is, and I'm not saying that writing is better than the oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think it is. Because you lose that intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it allows you to reach a greater number of people. The other unfortunate thing about writing is that it handicaps your memory,
mm-hmm.
your mind.
Yeah.
So, I think maybe at this point I don't really have any fear that these stories are going to be lost because. Our storytellers are coming back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one reason why I go on saying that I don't think non-natives should tell native stories. I think when the day comes that there is equity between native people, between First Nations peoples,
mm-hmm.
Canadians, then we can mm-hmm. sit down and can talk about this issue again.
Mm-hmm.
Then perhaps there are some people out there who can effectively tell native stories,
mm-hmm.
but there is no equality.
It's a question of unequal power, and as long as the power structure is like that, there's never a sort of a free dialogue.
Exactly. And the people who have control of your stories, have control of your voice, also have control of your destiny
mm-hmm.
and your culture.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I'm very glad you say this. One book in particular that struck me, or two, by Atwood. Atwood is widely read throughout the world.
Yes.
And in Surfacing, when she sort of, I don't know whether you've read that book. But
yes, I have, years ago.
She goes back to, quote, Indian roots, unquote, that aren't hers. And
mm-hmm.
200 years of, or 300 years of colonization, dispossession, so just disappear in this one person's quest to find a meaningful way of sort of worshiping sacred places.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it's terrible because it goes, it leaves alone outside the whole historical process and just acts as if any culture that there is for the heavens.
That's right. It's like this vast, wonderful Canada we have. They look at it and they say, oh, this is an unused natural resource. Let's go and cut
Native
down the trees. Let's go and mine. Let's bring out the uranium. Let's take out the nickel and whatever. No one is using it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this wild rice here. It's an unused natural resource. We'll have our commercial harvesters come in.
Mm-hmm.
They never think.
Mm-hmm.
They never think that
no,
it is someone's home.
It's true, and it's not just the sort of natural resources that are out there, but now it's native people becoming a natural.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
True.
They have our land, and now they want our stories too. And I say
yeah.
No.
I think for a long time I had a hard time understanding this, the very strong resistance of native people against this, but now it's sort of somebody told me it's going for the essence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stories sort of convey identity and the tradition.
Of course, I think
and
all stories do.
If that is taken
do.
By the colonizers as well, what is that?
I think that goes for any country.
Mm-hmm.
It's your storytellers, and I don't know what it is about the storyteller, their attention to detail,
mm-hmm.
cultural nuances.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that make the I guess maybe that give life or give credibility to what people talk about as universal motifs or whatever
mm-hmm.
the heck.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a particular way. I mean, we all cry, but some of us cry for different reasons,
mm-hmm.
and some of those reasons are cultural reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And only the people who know most intimately those things. Those are the people that criticize, those are the people to interpret,
mm-hmm.
and not somebody who comes and, you know, just comes cruising through your culture. I like that word, cruising.
So, we're right there. So what do you say about non-native people taking an interest in native literature, people like the situation we've got now? Cruising through Canada, meeting with native writers and presses.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. I think I always give people the benefit of the doubt first.
Mm-hmm.
And if you prove yourself to be an asshole, I'll tell you.
Sure.
Mind you, you know, a couple of years down the line, if well, this is the way things operate in native society. If you're doing something and you're doing okay, you're
mm-hmm.
not going to hear anything from anybody. They're just going to let you exist and go and do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you make a mistake, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, you'll know.
I know.
You'll know.
I've been working with native people for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So one of the reasons why I come over here is because unless I'm able to talk to people, I'll never get sort of a feedback, and I may be sort of miles and miles away from the issues that native people really convey in their writing, and are just making exercise in academic literary criticism. And that's
right.
What I mean.
Uh-huh.
That's what's happening
yeah.
most of the time.
Mm-hmm. It stopped.
This is voice operation.
Oh, it
that's
is.
Okay,
I
right?
see. Okay. If
it,
oh,
but
right.
I should have switched that off and you get everything. But I think it was turning. I was.
Oh, yeah, I was turning and I just heard it slip
yeah,
off.
It just
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, about. When you look at native writing coming out of Canada now, who besides yourself are the authors that you would recommend that people read?
I would recommend that people read everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the most important things I want people to know and well they have to know that. That just because something is Indian or just because something is native doesn't mean it's good.
No,
you know,
true.
there's bad writing, there's good writing. You make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I have
mm-hmm.
a preference for the authors that I like.
Mm-hmm.
some other authors, well, like Daniel David Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He and I, and Thompson Highway, have formed our group, the Committee to Reestablish the Trickster.
Oh, is Thompson Highway on that committee too?
Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is.
Meeting with him tomorrow.
Uh-huh. And then there's Maria Campbell.
Oh yeah, I met with her in Saskatoon.
Yes, and Daniel calls her the mother of us all.
Oh yeah, she is. I think.
She is. She of is. Course, she oh. is. And you know, it's she's struggled.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
She's really struggled. So I guess that's the way we all feel about her. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that Penn didn't see fit to ask her to present at the Penn conference this past month.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she could have presented here in Toronto and in Montreal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Whose decision was that?
I have no idea. You know, I don't belong to Penn. I'm ambivalent mm-hmm. about Penn, especially with the most recent events that have taken place.
Yeah, I heard from Ruby Slipperjack. She was there.
Yes, she was.
And Margaret Atwood jumped right at her and passed her around and introduced her.
Mm-hmm.
Also to the head of the Union of Writers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Are you a member of our union?" And she said, "I can't afford $160."
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, they make considerations for that. Yeah. And besides, I mean, Dan Moses and I belong to the Writers Union.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only Indians there. And as far as I guess it's a good organization to belong to if you want to know the business of writing, because that's all it deals with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all it deals with. You know, this issue of voice came up. This issue of racism in writing and publishing, and the motion was voted against. It didn't pass because Canadians. And I have to say, Canadians, they don't want to think that they're racist.
No, that's true.
The racism in Canada is insidious. Nobody likes to think that, or, you know, people are afraid to think that maybe they may be harboring racist sentiments, mm-hmm. Racist feelings. And they should. I mean, for heaven's sake, there is no equity with Native. With First Nations peoples.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
That's true.
And they try to cap our education. And I guess this is another thing I wanted to say. In the area of education, or in the area of developing writers, I believe it was in the late 50s, early 60s, that there were sweeping changes in the with the Indian Act.
Mm-hmm.
Native people could then go to university without losing status, without having to give up and to deny their heritage. Now, you know, that's about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look what we've accomplished in 20 years. The majority of our people going through the education system are going in for political science and law.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why.
And administration.
Maybe that's why Mr. Cadieu wants to cap the funding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, but we've done a hell of a lot, and along with that, I guess the priority came because we were getting screwed politically and through administration.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where our people went first. And okay, so then there are people like me. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a storyteller. I've always been a storyteller. And now I believe I'm in a position where people do take note of what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my contribution. This is probably the only contribution I can make to my society, mm-hmm. is to be a storyteller and to speak up for the voice,
mm-hmm.
speak up for the trickster.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people to keep your hands off. If you want to hear stories, then you come to me.
Mm-hmm.
You go to my grandmother or my grandfather if you want to hear stories. Don't you go over there to W.P. Kinsella or mm-hmm. Lynn Andrews or mm-hmm. even M.T. Kelly for that matter, mm-hmm. or Rudy Weeb.
So you see yourself primarily first as a storyteller.
I think we're all
and
storytellers.
And the poet is part of that.
The poet is part of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. We are all storytellers, writing,
mm-hmm.
Theater. These are just forms of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is just a tool, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all.
But isn't there a big qualitative difference, though, if you think of the storyteller and the listener, they're together in one circle,
mm-hmm.
and once you put something down on paper, it might get published, it's sort of, you have no control of who reads it, what they do with it, you don't even know
no,
where
you
it's
don't.
Going to
that's,
end up.
That's why, this is that issue of voice.
Mm-hmm.
Stories and words are powerful,
mm-hmm.
and we must all take, we as storytellers, as writers, must take the responsibility for the words that we put out there to the public, for the words that we put into the air. We can't just throw them away carelessly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because, you know, and I think we all try to be subtle. We all try for the subtleness, the impact of story through the oral tradition or through the written tradition, the impact of a story that's going to hang on a person long after they've put the book down,
mm-hmm.
or left the storytelling
mm-hmm.
circle. We're all striving for that because, you know, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, and in a way, it shows that we have influence, and we do.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be careful with it. It's power.
Mm-hmm. The way I understand the oral tradition and what I've read, and you can read this in fiction, you can read this statements by native authors, both in Canada and the U.S. And what it burns down to is so that people know who they are. Where they come
exactly.
from and where they're going.
Exactly.
Now that was embedded in specific cultures and
mm-hmm.
languages.
Mm-hmm.
Now if native writers are sharing that with
mm-hmm.
the reading public in general,
mm-hmm.
That gets a new dimension, doesn't it?
Well, I think I think what it does is it gives identity to Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Canadians think that the founding peoples were French and Canadian.
Yeah.
But the first peoples too,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
Had it not been for the first people, I mean,
I know,
explorers would have died of scurvy, right?
That's right.
And it was our people that showed them how to get from A to B. And when they found out that they could do it by themselves and the bears weren't going to gobble them up, then the relationship between the white man and the native as allies began to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
So that natives are just, use them whatever you want.
Well, they're being displaced. It's like we in our history try to displace certain facts of our history, like concentration camps,
mm-hmm.
because it's painful to remember.
Yes.
But we must remember,
we must.
So it won't happen again, and we learn. And
exactly.
It's the same here.
Exactly, and this is why the trickster tales are
mm-hmm.
so wonderful, and why
mm-hmm.
I'm...
Was that your idea, the society for the reawakening of the trickster?
Oh, the committee to reestablish
okay.
the trickster.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, this is to learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
The trickster, the teacher,
oh,
the
yeah.
paradox,
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
Christ-like
mm-hmm.
in a way, except I think from our teacher, we learn through the teacher's mistakes
mm-hmm.
as well as the
mm-hmm.
teacher's virtues. I don't know if that's likewise with Christianity.
No, but Christianity is something very special. If you go back to original beliefs in Europe that are pre-Christian,
mm-hmm.
and you, for example, you may take the Greek gods, you may take the Roman gods, or if you take Nordic gods, that's
mm-hmm. oh, there's tricksters there too.
They have tricksters, and they have pretty mean characters,
yes.
they have good characters, and they're all struggling to try to be human, or
yes.
try to
be
make
human.
A life and teach and show which roads are the wrong ones, right?
Yes.
By their mistakes. So right. I think it's the same concept.
It's I think it's the same.
Being on a pedestal and you just fall down and sacrifice everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, that's true.
I mean, we were colonized and Christianity cramped down the throats of our ancestors too. This was longer ago, but
yes.
It's the same process.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of people forget them.
Yeah, isn't that unfortunate? And I think this is why we're struggling so hard to remember.
And Native people are teaching other people. I mean, through contact with Native people, I know a lot of Europeans who then went back into their own history and said, what is it that we had?
Mm-hmm. What is it that we have?
So we get okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of it is destroyed, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And but we are very grateful for that because mm-hmm. we get a lot of help from Native people, also in ecological issues or peace delegations.
Yes.
The Iranian delegation that came over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm gonna go to the store.
Okay.
You're about to leave.
Huh?
You're about to leave.
Yeah.
Stay away from here.
I guess I've been on this issue of racism. Oh. And I think that, oh boy, what am I doing here? Why am I dealing with this? Why don't I just go off somewhere and just write?
Mm-hmm. When did you start writing?
When did I start writing? I guess seriously when I went to university.
Mm-hmm.
I did a degree in fine arts with the emphasis on creative writing.
Mm-hmm. Where was that? Yeah.
That was at York University.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been, I can truthfully say that I've always been a storyteller, even
mm-hmm.
as a child, because I could look around and I could see stories happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always listened to my father
mm-hmm.
and my mom with their stories, and then my grandparents with
mm-hmm.
their stories. And then when I could read, even though I was reading nursery rhymes like 1, 2, buckle your shoe, I used to wonder, how come there are no Indian children
mm-hmm.
in these nursery rhymes? How come? So I think it started then.
Mm-hmm.
From my father, I think we got mostly the traditional stories. From my mother, we had traditional stories as well, but she has a high school education and she read to us a
mm-hmm.
lot, so we've, you
mm-hmm.
know, I guess that's the balance there,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
connection with the old and the new.
Yeah, so you were brought up with both traditions at the same time.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Did you grow up in the city or?
No, I grew up on the reserve.
Oh yeah.
I grew up on the reserve.
Where was that?
This is on Cape Croker, on the
mm-hmm.
Bruce Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider myself very fortunate that I've had that upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Is there something like, you mentioned then the David Moses and Jamaica Highwater people that you sort of worked together with?
Oh.
Beyond that, is
Thompson Highway,
Jamaica
Highwater.
Oh, I know. That's terrible.
Uh-huh.
I know.
The names are similar.
Yeah, I mix names up quite often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that. That's God. Yeah, I know the difference for sure.
Okay.
Is there like a network of Native writers? Are you in contact with other Native writers throughout Canada?
Yes, I am. And since we're all sort of working artists,
mm-hmm.
we don't keep regular
mm-hmm.
contact,
mm-hmm.
but we do meet every so often here
mm-hmm.
and there. But regularly, there is a group of writers within the parameters of,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. Of
so those are regional or local groups.
A regional
right?
group,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Do you think there would be a need for a larger organization or possibilities of meeting?